All right, I told you we're going to do things a little bit different today, so I'm going to really throw you a curveball here. You don't get to just sit and listen today, okay? You're going to have to do something. And I've done this in some other groups that some of you have been a part of before, so I apologize if you've done it before. And I stole this from something they did at a convention a couple of years ago, so I can't claim any originality. But we're going to have, for the next about 4 minutes, some discussion amongst ourselves. So if you could turn to somebody near you, if you could pair up, that's ideal, but I know that we're not necessarily configured to have that. But so three people is okay, but ideally two people. People that you don't mind talking to. Introduce yourselves. Okay. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Okay, for the next 2 minutes, and this is going to be on a strict timer, okay? I'm going to when I say go, we have 2 minutes, and I'm going to ring the bells after 2 minutes. I want you to take turns and describe the last really good meal that you had, okay? And be as descriptive and enthusiastic as possible, right? Don't just be like, oh, yeah, you know, I had a burger. No, I mean, describe, you know, make... And I know it's a short amount of time to be able to do that, but I think you guys can handle it. So 2 minutes, describe the last really good meal you had. Go. Second warning. Wrap it up. All right, so what was that like? Was it pretty easy? Not too long. Too long. Okay. All right, now don't turn back around yet. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to, with the same group or person, for the next 2 minutes, describe a significant spiritual experience that you have had. All right, and go.
see some sunspots.
Oh, yeah. Party out here.
Second warning. All right, now you can turn back around. Your work is done for the day. Good job, everybody. All right, so how did that compare to talking about food?
Harder.
Harder? Yeah. Did anybody think it was easier? Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. So we must have a spiritually mature congregation. or maybe the food was the spiritual experience. Anybody have that? I know for me sometimes it is, right? Now, I know for a lot of us, it can be difficult to talk about spiritual things because we just don't quite have the same vocabulary for talking about spiritual things that we do for talking about food. I mean, it's easy to describe a great meal, right? It's not always easy to find words to describe a spiritual experience, especially when we're a room full of Christians or, you know, Christian adjacent at least. And then imagine having that conversation with a complete stranger. Like, it'd probably be easy to describe your meal to somebody you didn't know that well, but when it comes to spiritual things, we're a little bit more hesitant. However, let's think about this. If we're called as followers of Jesus to share our story, then we really should be able to have that vocabulary, right? At least ideally we would. And so as I mentioned, today was designated by our bishop as Deacon Sunday, a day to shift our attention just for a Sunday to the diaconate and to recognize what a deacon really is and what a deacon's called to. Sometimes the diaconate is overlooked. Sometimes it's misunderstood. One of the characteristics of the diaconate, and I think this is probably one of the primary things that deacons are called to do, is to be the one out front. To be the one that's bringing the church to the world and vice versa. Do we have some?
There's somebody who's speaking on some device, and I don't know if it's mine or not.
I think it kind of sounds like it might be. So a deacon is called to bring the church to the world and to bring the world to the church, right? To be the one that's out in front. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we're actually, just because we're not deacons in here doesn't mean we're not called to do that, right? We're actually, all the orders of ministry, we are all called at different times to exercise some of the functions of those orders of ministry. Believe it or not, lay people are sometimes called to exercise the ministry of a bishop, of oversight. You know, if you're a leader in anything in the church, you're exercising some of the bishop's ministry. When we care for each other, we're exercising pastoral or priestly ministry with each other, right? And when we're called to go out and share our story, that's a big part of how we might exercise the ministry of the diaconate in our daily lives. And so there's two famous deacons in the New Testament. And there's one of them, I think, is the one that everybody thinks of, and that's St. Stephen, right? And we don't really get to celebrate St. Stephen's Day very much because, anybody know why? It's the day after Christmas, right? And getting people to church on the day after Christmas, probably not going to happen. So our bishop gave us this opportunity to celebrate Philip, and who's a little less known, but nonetheless, he has that story in Acts. I think we're all pretty familiar with it. And it's really a great story because it gives us such a model of how God really calls and equips all of us to share our story with people. And so I thought for today we could take a little closer look at that story. That story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, because that shows how we can bring our story to the world. So notice one of the very first things in the story of Philip is that God calls him to go to this wilderness road, right? It very much points out, it's in parentheses in the text, right? This is the wilderness road. It's a road that, not the kind of place where you would go out and expect to be doing some type of ministry. So for Philip to be called there by God, he would probably be thinking, okay, why are you calling me out to this strange place? Kind of like us being called outside of our comfort zones, right? Being called outside of the church, being called outside of places where we might be comfortable and we might be in a social position where we're in control of the conversation. God calls Philip into this place where he doesn't have any control whatsoever. He just has to be ready to go with what happens. And of course, he encounters this person who, you couldn't have a more different social location than Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch, right? Of course, a eunuch is somebody who's a servant of royalty, who's been castrated. And so eunuchs in the society of that time were definitely not high up on the social ladder, right? So on the one hand, you have this person who's very, very low on the social ladder because of his physical condition. But then he's also a servant of a queen. So he's in some ways at a higher social location. So he's in this weird kind of hybrid space. Philip, you know, he's a fisherman from Galilee who has been commissioned to go out and do these crazy things. And so this person is probably the least likely person that Philip would approach with trying to share the gospel. So something to think about that. Something to think about there. Who is God calling us? He may be calling us to the people we are least likely to think would be on our list. Philip listens to the Spirit. The Spirit just tells him, go to the chariot and join it. He doesn't know what to expect. He's not told what he's exactly supposed to do. He has to trust that in the moment that he's going to be equipped with what he needs by the Spirit to be able to share with this person. And notice he doesn't go up to the eunuch and say, do you want to invite Jesus into your heart? Would you like Jesus to be your personal Savior? He just notices what the eunuch is doing. He's reading. And he asks him a very simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? Right? Just an open-ended question to engage him to be able to share his own story. He lets the person he's talking to frame the discussion, instead of being the one who's going to set the agenda, right? And then, most importantly, I think, he shares his story in an understandable way. He uses his own story, he uses his own experiences, he uses his own words to explain this complicated thing in Scripture. And let's admit it, right? The Bible is not particularly clear a lot of the time. If somebody says the Bible is clear on something, well, I usually question them because things in the Bible can be interpreted in so many different ways, and we have so many arguments about how to interpret any given passage in Scripture. What connects with people is not your ability to exegete the Scriptures. It's your ability to share your own experience, your own story, how the Scripture and how God has affected your life. This is the same thing that Jesus does with these disciples on the Emmaus Road in the gospel story, right? He talks about himself, and he explains to them through his own experience what all these things mean. And so what I see for us in all of this is, are we prepared to share our story? Do we have the vocabulary? Do we have the words to be able to talk about who Jesus is to us, who God is to us, what the scriptures mean to us? Are we able to talk about that in a way that's relatable, in a way that's understandable, and in a way that's unique to and authentic to us, to ourselves? I think if we're able to do that, then no matter where we're sent, no matter to which wilderness road we find ourselves, then we can find ourselves being able to share that story. We might assume that people out there know about Jesus, right? I mean, who hasn't heard of Jesus? But the truth is, the story that a lot of people understand about Jesus is, not really a great version of the story, right? We have the opportunity to get the story straight for people. We have the opportunity to present a different story of Jesus. And that's a big part of the call of the deacon. And so that's why we talk about that today. And it's a call for all of us, not just for deacons. If you look at the service of ordination for a deacon in the Book of Common Prayer, it says one of the things that the deacon agrees to do is to make Christ and his redemptive love known by word and example to those among whom you live and work and worship. Now, that is definitely not a call just for deacons. That is a call for all of us. The story of Philip and the story of the eunuch tells us to be ready at all times. We never know when we're going to be called over to that chariot. God wants his love to be shared. And God wants us to be the vehicles by which that love is shared. And God will give us the opportunities to do so. We just have to be willing and ready and have our eyes and our hearts open to those opportunities to be able to see them and then to utilize them. My prayer for us today, on this day that we celebrate Deacon Sunday, is that we would open our eyes to those opportunities that are all around us, and that our hearts would especially be open to sharing that love with those who might be outside of our normal social circle. And so may God lead us to our own wilderness roads. And I believe we will find his grace moving on those roads in unexpected ways if we just allow ourselves to see and to listen and to follow. And I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.